A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You are now listening to episode 10 of the Thanks for Trying podcast. My name is Corin, and I'm fucking excited about this episode. This is a long emotional intro alert. Feel free to skip forward like 30 seconds, 60 seconds, whatever, if you don't want to hear it. This, of course, is the last episode of the season. So thank you so much to everyone who has been listening the last 10 weeks. It makes me seriously emotional to hear from you and how much it makes you laugh on your way to work. If you've spat out your coffee on the bus, it makes me feel all warm inside. Thank you to every guest that has been on season 2. It's not about PR. There's no managers or agents involved. People just come on and want to chat shit with me, and I appreciate that. I do this shit for fun and to shine a light in the vast chasm of darkness that surrounds us. And yes, that was unnecessarily deep, but it had to be said. So usually I say the same shit. If you like it, share it, tell a friend, blah, 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 you know, all that stuff. But I've changed my mind this time. I don't want you to tell anyone. This is our thing. It's a secret. They don't deserve it. And you know what? It is so fucking good. Because today's episode, the final episode of season 2, is so fucking special. It's the first ever one of just one guest. The legendary Taika Waititi, director of Thor Ragnarok, Hunt for the Wilder People, What We Do in the Shadows, the forthcoming Mandalorian Star Wars TV show, Jojo Rabbit with Scarlett Johansson that's out next year, and so, so, so much more. Thank you to T for his time. We usually get fucking drunk and chat shit, so it was only right that we recorded it at the Savoy in London. Big thank you to Raker Vodka for the booze. Happy Christmas Eve to everyone. Have a wonderful Christmas seasonal period. Please, please be kind to yourself. It's a turbulent as fuck time of year. So do all of the things that you love. Thank you for listening and enjoy.
What's up? What's up?
All right. You're number 3. No, 1-2. You're number 1. Okay.
I'm number 1. I'm on mic number 1.
Let me turn
this
you
is the
up.
Level. This is my level. This is the level that I drop my shit. I do my interviews. And right. I never get louder than this, but I do get, I never get quieter than this.
That's real husky. That's so beautifully husky. I like that. That was almost like...
What do you want to know?
That was like jazz radio voice. That's standard, okay?
Next up, smooth listening.
Delicious, delicious listening.
On delicious beats through to midnight.
This entire podcast is just going to be my annoying laugh. I know that's going to happen. So don't make me laugh too much.
Well, you should know, like one T-Dog. Of those radio jockeys has got a button for their laughter.
Yeah, true. I want one of those now, except I have different laughs for different situations. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've got like the sort of, that wasn't funny, but I'm going to humour you by laughing.
Yeah, go on, hit me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So listeners, he's looking in the other direction when he's doing that. He started laughing and then it tailed off. Yeah. It tailed off a little bit.
Yeah.
Then he looked to the left.
Yeah.
So that's how it...
Yeah, I did. Oh, perfect timing.
Perfect timing.
Is there a price?
It's good. I hadn't even started, so that's all right.
Just up there is fine. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. So that was the little taster beginning, because I hadn't even done the welcome yet. I knew the
Do
ice was coming. The ice had been delivered. I'll set the scene.
Okay.
I'll set the scene. Okay.
Where are we? London.
London.
England.
England.
With the Savoy Hotel, the famous
the
Savoy.
Fucking Savoy Hotel. Bear in mind, I'm a Londoner, born and raised. I was born in this fair, sodden city.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been to the Savoy before.
Yeah, well, this is my first time as well.
Wow.
They've got butlers. You saw the guy who came in before to deliver the ice. He's got tails. He's a jacket with tails.
My guy delivered the ice.
Like a pianist.
The ice had a towel on it that is better than any towel I've ever used to dry my body.
Yep. That's the way we like to do things at the Savoy.
That is the Savoy. There's a view.
That's the
view
Savoy experience that I want everyone to have. When I do my podcasts, I only do them at the Savoy.
This is the place. And this is only your second ever podcast, so I'm super gassed about that. I'm not going to lie. I'm super hyped about that. And also, I'm excited that you've started drawing. So by the end...
By the end, there'll be some nice doodles.
There'll be some great doodles. People listening to this can write in and win... the doodle.
You can win the doodle. You can win my doodle.
You can
get your hands on Tyker's doodle.
I already have. And
what's my doodle like?
I mean, it's pretty robust, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
It's quite square.
Mm-hmm. Nice lines.
It's definitely paler than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
But you can get your hands on this very same pale square doodle.
Yep.
Welcome to the Thanks for Trying podcast, episode 10. 10, goddammit, it's the last one of the season.
Happy birthday.
Season 2, thank you so much. And also, this drops on Christmas Eve. So Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, this is your gift.
This is the gift to you, the gift of Tyker. So I'm sober, I know I won't be soon. So that means what I should do, as I've done on the 9 previous episodes, I do the responsible thing.
Yeah.
Where I talk about serious things for the first little bit. I get them out of the way.
Get them out of the way, yes.
So I don't have to think
That's
about
right.
them.
That's right, let's do it. I'm happy to talk serious for about a minute.
Okay. My first serious question.
Yeah.
How the fuck do you start to put together a blockbuster film? Because I don't understand. What's the first step? What do you do?
We're talking about Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, yeah. I'm not even going to gas you up.
It's a team effort. And because I'd never made one of these films before, I had to rely on that team. And so the good thing about Marvel is I think Thor is maybe number 17 or 18 in their run of superhero films. Mm. And so when I came in, they hadn't had a failure. They'd have had basically 17 consecutive hits. Mm. And so I felt very relaxed about coming into that system because I knew that they knew what they were doing. And I really just took it as an opportunity to learn a lot about filmmaking, because all my stuff had been quite small and very personal films that I had made, and I'd had Final Cut and all that stuff. Yeah. And so I'd,
They very much felt like yours. So Eagle vs. Shark or
they whatever. They saw Boy, and What We Do in the Shadows was actually basically based on Boy and what they took from that got me the interest and got me the interview and I met them. And so I think they liked the idea that I could do comedy, but then also with these films, the thing that makes them work a lot is having heart and having something, you know, being able to tell a story which makes the audience feel something. So it was that combination that I think they were looking for with Thor. And when I came in, obviously being pretty green, didn't know much about any of this stuff, I just handed it all over to them, really, just to show me the way, knowing that I could bring in my style and my sensibility and my tone and stuff. But again, I just wanted to learn from the masters, really.
Yeah. I feel like you have to compartmentalize quite a lot with a big task like that.
Yeah, for sure. And you have to really delegate and put a lot of faith in the other departments.
Because that is different from previous films of yours, which were your babies, which were
and I ended up doing it, and on those things, as you do with everything else, you know, like when it's your thing and you don't have much money, you end up doing all the jobs, and you end up, you know, taking creative control of everything, really. But with these guys, you know, we had the very best designers and artists and production design teams, and so I was really spoiled, but also that's exactly what you need, is just to go through. You know, even with the costume designs, we went through, for Thor's costumes, we probably went through 100 different designs before we settled on certain ones. And that's what's amazing about it as well, just seeing all the, and also the worlds that we created. You know, sometimes I'd spend 2 months, you know, coming up with all these ideas for these planets and for these things, and only to then find out that we cut that from the script and changed the planet.
This is another thing that I was going to ask you about it. Like, how much... How much great stuff did you have in mind to do, whether you shot it or you didn't shoot it, that didn't actually make it? Like, was there some stuff in there that you held really close and dear?
Yeah, there was stuff that There's still not a lot. There wasn't much stuff that I loved that got cut, and I was really lucky to have that in the final film. A lot of the things that I fell in love with, and so. But in the script stage, there were a few things that, you know, a few ideas that I thought would be really great, but they kind of just got axed because I think, in a way, they would have. Now, in retrospect, I do understand why. You know, at the time, I was like, "Yeah, but this will be funny," and then, but then I had to realize that a lot of the things that. That might appeal to my taste, don't appeal necessarily to the Marvel audience,
right, okay.
Or that it might undermine the story or the character might not be in keeping with Thor.
You have to also be, you know, paying homage or not homage in sense, but you also have to, and you've got all of these rules in the Marvel, the MCU,
for
that
sure.
You have to abide by of the three films that just went past and the 10 films that are coming next, and like if you
that's
can't
right.
step wrong.
I can't just go in and go, oh yeah, but then Thor should die,
and Hulk's black,
Hulk's
definitely black, right?
They're just going to screw everything from before and coming after the film, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so in many ways, I just stayed in my lane.
Yeah. did you have a set of rules that, you know, like the Russos just came to you, or, you know, whoever just came to you and went, listen, this is what's happening. I'm not asking for any in details, but I like the idea of, I'm a logical guy.
There was a lot of talk in between the different films and with, and definitely with like with the two Avengers films that were coming after, there were things that we had to check in with them, and then when they started writing Avengers and when they were getting into pre-production, they would then ask us to, you know, advice on what Thor was like and what happens in the end of our film. And you can also say, well, I'm not going to give up this ending because I want it like this, and this film is the most important thing right now because it's being made, and you're going to have to deal with that in your film. Or vice versa, though. Well, for the Avengers to work, you know, it's got to be like this, otherwise, you know, the whole thing falls apart. So there's, there's a lot of give and take because it's, you know, for the most part, everyone wants to help each other.
Yeah.
And so I would, like, do a sort of a dialogue pass or a character pass on some of the scenes with Thor just to make him more like our Thor.
Yeah.
Because when they wrote it, they hadn't seen any of our stuff and they didn't realise what we'd done to the character and changed him so much. So when I read that stuff, the first things they had in Avengers, he was kind of similar to the old Thor from the first two films.
Right.
You know, he spoke differently.
A personality.
Kind of very serious. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Different personality. So, but that was good. So they just took on board everything. And I think they're really happy. Everyone's really happy with the new version of Thor now.
And you've had some distance from it now in terms of like time wise. Can you look back with that same distance now and see the film in a different way? Because I know that personally, when I record an album, it takes quite a while for me to go back and actually enjoy it. I need emotional distance from it. So can you enjoy this? Can you enjoy Ragnarok?
Well, I haven't seen it since the premiere, and I probably won't see it for a while. I never watch my stuff after I've shot it, so I don't know. I feel like I've seen my film so many times coming up to the finish line that's sort of it for me.
And that goes for everything?
Yeah.
Like everything in the catalogue?
Everything I've ever made, yeah.
Okay.
I haven't seen Boy since 2010.
No!
I haven't seen Eagle vs. Shark since 2007. I haven't seen Shadows probably since 2014.
You got to see that. It's a great film.
Yeah. I haven't seen Book People for a long time either. Yeah.
That film changed me, man. Like, I know everyone comes up to you and goes, oh, this film, man. That must be the most annoying thing ever, because I do feel like that when people say that about my music, because you don't know. How dare you say something positive to me? I can't take compliments.
That's right. No, that's a very New Zealand thing as well. Oh, no, don't take any compliments. No.
Compliments are shit. But no, that was an incredible film. But is there something you're most proud of today, even if you haven't watched it?
I'd say Boy is the thing I'm most proud of, because it's the first film that was really in my voice and it had a lot of me in it. It's a very personal film. And just seeing one clip today at this lecture series I did at BAFTA, they played a couple of minutes of it, and there's things that I'd just completely forgotten it existed. But now I've got so much distance from it and so much time that's like someone else made it, and I actually feel like I can enjoy it now. Like I was watching this clip and I was like, oh man, actually,
that's really good. Forcible distance as well, because you're there, they're forcing you to watch it. It's almost like if you were in a hotel and something came on and happened to be on TV,
that's right.
You can pretend it's someone else.
And I think if I, you know, maybe in a year or so, if I was in a hotel and Thor came on, I'd probably end up watching it just to see, even though I can still I can still kind of picture the entire thing, like every shot for shot.
Okay, so speaking of Thor, how much did you enjoy playing Korg?
Well, I loved it because I love putting myself in all my films, and obviously I love myself enough to do that.
Definitely.
And then, so, but that was that, and that character was never really like a. He was never supposed to be a big thing.
Yeah.
And he was. I think he was only going to be in like one or two scenes, just in the jail, and then he disappeared. But because I got to do some writing on the film as well, when I did my pass on the script, I got to put a lot of him in there, and then a lot more, and then a lot more, and he just kept coming back and coming back. So I really loved. I loved writing that stuff, and I loved just being able to do a character that was very that I find really funny because he's basically a New Zealander in outer space, and just provides some comic relief, but is also a character that's so lovable, and people just really want to hang out with him.
Yeah,
like that to me is like the idea of a perfect character that's not the main character, but just something like a nice supporting role that. That complements the story.
Definitely. Like a guest verse from DMX. That's what I mean. Everyone wants to have that there. So hopefully we'll see Korg return, but who knows? Who knows what will happen? Okay, so I've got lots of Thor-related things to ask you. You know, the quicker I get drunk, the more that will go out of the window.
Yeah, good. Have another drink.
I will. Jeff Goldblum, man.
Yeah, the Goldblum.
What a hero to mankind and womankind.
And what a gift to this planet, for whatever planet he came from. And he was gifted as a little alien child down here on Earth just to bless us for, a few decades.
He sings and plays. Also, he plays the piano.
Plays great jazz piano, and he sings. He's actually a pretty good dancer. And he's just, he really is from another world. The way he just, his style, his sense of style, and the way he holds himself, and the way that he engages with people. He's got an encyclopedic knowledge of film. He's incredibly smart, and he's I can only describe him as sort of naughty, but in the nicest, sweetest way,
Cheeky.
He's a cheeky guy.
As fuck. And what was it like working with all of these? Obviously, you've worked with such incredible actors within your career up to that point anyway. And of course, Sam Neill being one of them, being a legendary character. But what was it like to work with so many, like an ensemble of them in Ragnarok?
It was amazing because they weren't really around for that long. Like, we block shot everything. So all of Mark Ruffalo's stuff, I think we did within a month, and I think Kate Blanchett we had for about 5 weeks. Yeah. The only people who were there from beginning to end were Tessa and Chris, and the rest of them, I'm pretty sure, just came in and out. Was it? So we've just got some pizzas arriving.
Pizza delivery gang.
So what was I talking about?
I'm intrigued by the table situation. Looks great.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait to describe it in full.
It's a table on wheels with some nice place settings. Oh, and then two delicious looking pizzas have turned up.
The smell is good.
One pepperoni. Oh, yes. And one is a margarita. Thank you so much. Oh,
well, thank you. Perfect. That's great. Look at that. There's a tiny Tabasco.
Do you want me to sign the thing? Oh, great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Cheers. I just had a pizza delivery there. Jazz Radio Tycho ready to describe them easy.
Pizza House.
The Pizza House podcast, broadcasting live from the Savoy. it does look pretty good. And it's also torturous because you have to stare at the pizza.
Yeah, while it gets cold.
Just out of arm's reach.
Yeah. So where grandiose. Were we? We were talking about
Tessa and...
Oh, yeah, that's right, in the cast. So,
and Chris,
And they were all amazing. Like and that was, again, a really cool learning thing for me, just working with all those different actors and seeing their different styles and seeing how they worked together or didn't work together. And for me, that was... a big learning curve because I just really only worked with my friends, and just to work with a whole lot of those people all together in the same group was great. And I was actually really lucky that I didn't have any egos to deal with, or I didn't have any assholes on set, and just everyone was there to do the work. And I think because it was more of an ensemble piece, they all wanted to complement each other, and no one really wanted to sort of take over and stand out. And I think that these days that kind of asshole behavior is sort of disappearing a lot from film, I think, now, because there's just not much. There's no room for it, and there's not much tolerance for it anymore.
Is there a sense that if you are a fucking dickhead, then people ain't going to work with you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's it. So it used to be that you could be the biggest asshole in the world, and people would if you were a big enough star, you know, people would still want to work with you. But now, I think people just feel that life's too short, and they just can't be fucked, you know, working with a piece of shit.
If you're stuck, like, especially you were filming in Australia, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're stuck abroad, you know, away from people you love, away from your mates, you don't want to be working with fucking assholes. You want to be working with the people that are going to come and play board games with you and whatnot. So, okay, so listen, I know you get asked to the high heavens about Thor, you must be so bored of it. But what's the thing that people ask you that you fucking hate the most?
About Thor?
Or just about, about movie, about screenwriting, whatever it is. What don't you like answering?
I don't mind answering anything. I don't. I mean, if there's something, I'll tell you.
Okay.
Just to answer the question.
Okay, cool.
I'm not going to say it just because I think that. Just
so my next
I'm trying
question,
to be an asshole.
You were like,
yeah.
Actually, I actually like most things except for what you just asked me. Okay, so.
Yeah, to answer your question from 15 minutes ago, that question, you fucking
that one,
idiot.
You fucking prick. Okay, so obviously we lost a legend, Stan Lee, recently, which is heartbreaking to so many people. And you obviously had the pleasure of working with him.
Mm-hmm.
How closely did you liaise with him on stuff?
Well, not really at all when we were making the film in general, but when we did his scene, he came in and, I mean, it was really like having royalty on set. I mean, the whole place just shut down and everyone wanted to meet him and get a photo. I mean, he was a massive star on those Marvel sets, you know, and every actor, didn't matter who they were, was like, oh my God, Stan Lee's here. Yeah. And me too. Like I felt that it was just this reverence for him to an extent where I was one of the few times I felt like really lost for words being
starstruck.
Around someone and starstruck and just not knowing quite what to say. Because there's just a sense that he could just shut you down at any point. Not because he was an asshole, he was super, super sweet. But it's just something about some people where you think, oh my God, I don't know what to say. I'm not going to get away with just being like, oh, g'day, mate, how you doing, man? You know, you've got to be respectful and you've got to, you know, there's just, and so I was just like, oh, hello, Mr. Lee. Oh, hello, I'm over here, please stand. Oh, thank you very much. But he was like very casual and cool and fine. Yeah. And he was just loving what he created. He loved going to the movie sets and seeing his legacy.
Yeah.
In you know, in the flesh, and someone was saying that he had mentioned that despite having created this empire of comics and all the characters and everything, the thing that he was most proud of, the thing that he was most proud of in his whole life was doing those cameos, because I think for him it was like being able to see all of those characters for real. That must have been amazing for him.
So exciting, and also testament to the fact that you should always do what you love.
Yeah,
life.
And also exactly, and also the fact that comics are important.
Mm.
Comic books. I collected comic books when I was a kid, and for me, that was just one of the biggest escapes from my world. And I just loved reading comic books, and all I wanted to do was collect comics and read them, and just lie around reading comics. I just loved the stories, and I loved the art. I loved. Just love the worlds that it took you away to.
What comics were you reading?
Well, my big ones were Batman. I was big into Detective Comics and Batman, and not that I was like a DC guy, but just that particular character I loved. Mm. I just loved the darkness. I loved all of the, you know, I loved the character because he just looked the coolest.
Yeah.
And then in terms of Marvel stuff, I was more into X-Men and New Mutants. And I wasn't like into the kind of old school, like A-list superheroes.
Yeah,
you know, those guys I kind of came into later on. But I remember we'd have like a lot of Iron Man comics around my house. I think one of my uncles collected them. I would have just read them all the time. Didn't even collect them.
Yeah.
So those ones, I always loved Iron Man, just because again he looked cool. Yeah, it was just the characters that I felt like just looked the toughest and looked the coolest. And but even then in the 80s, you know, collecting Spider-Man or Iron Man that felt like a real, that's like an old person sort of thing.
Right.
You know? So like, yeah, we would do, so like, yeah, so a lot of the other comics I collected were sort of Dark Horse and, you know, sort of those other sort of, what do you call them, the niche sort of comics, the ones that were just a bit weirder and not as mainstream, I think.
So that's so funny how that it changes with, like, even for a couple of years. Like, I always saw that about DC comics. Oh, I can't read them because they're for the older generation. So when I was younger, I used to love Venom. Venom was my shit.
Yeah,
I used to love, because my brother collected them all. He had so many comics. And all the X-Men comics were just incredible. But my favorite was about, fuck, I want to remember the name of them now. But it was a small, I think it was maybe one or two comics about a team of characters that cleaned up after the Marvel superheroes had fucked up the city.
Oh, shit, that's awesome.
And they are the fucking best. They would literally be Spider-Man, like, after, you know, Ultron had fucking ruined New York City. And he'd be like, sorry, guys. Sorry, you have to do this. And it's like, awesome. You motherfucker. I got to fucking go home. I'm, like, getting paid $6 an hour. And I got to, like, look after my family.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And
it is awesome.
There's something about the realism of that shit that,
that just
got me every time.
Well, that's the sort of thing I'm into. I mean, that sounds amazing, because that is really, like, what I've based a lot of my stuff on, is, like, the people that you don't really think about. Mm. Like, you know, what we do in the shadows is, like, vampires who happen to flat together. And and we're really asking the question, what do they do when they're not murdering people? Mm. Like, what do they do in their spare time?
Because they can't be angry all of the time.
No, and they can't be evil all the time.
Yeah.
So and I think even with sort of to some extent with Thor, I wanted to show a little bit more of the, you know, like, even though you can't really with him because he's, you know, he's the hero and you've got to give him a mission. Yeah. But I was always curious. I was like, what does Thor do in his downtime? And that's where those little mockumentary things came around that we did in Australia.
Yeah.
With Chris and Daryl, or Thor and Daryl.
Yeah.
Exactly the same as Shadows, really. It's like, so what does he do when he's flatting, when he's got to pay bills?
And exactly. How does he pay bills? I feel like, and when do they ever go to the toilet? This always bothers me. When do superheroes go to the toilet?
They never go to the toilet.
Do they not have to?
They don't have poop holes.
Do they not?
No.
Exclusive.
You heard it right here.
You heard it right here. Thanks for trying podcast. Thor doesn't have a poop hole. Okay, so what we do in the Shadows TV show, that's happening.
Yep, okay, that's happening. And shooting in Toronto right now. The date as of right now, the date is November the 24th.
Is it
2018
or Christmas Eve?
Or is it Christmas Eve? Well, then, so actually, to answer your question, we finished shooting a week ago in Toronto.
Whoa, okay, cool.
It went really well. I remember in late November when I was about to go to Toronto and shoot the episodes. Gosh, it seemed like a lifetime ago. But I was at the Savoy Hotel, just in London, sitting around thinking, God, how am I going to direct these episodes? Yeah, yeah. And the next day, I remember I had to go and get on a plane back to LA and go and finish shooting my episode of The Mandalorian. And, you know, I mean, I just felt like I had everything, you know.
And how good was that pizza? How good was the pizza that you ate? The host really stopped you from eating, if anything.
Yes, right.
But you were really angry at him for quite some time.
And like, yeah, you talk about yourself as in the third person as the host.
The host, sorry. The really handsome host. There you go, that's even better.
Yeah.
Okay, so wait a second. Fucking Star Wars, man. We just brush shit over like it's nothing.
Star Wars, that's just a thing.
Oh, that's just a thing? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, mine are.
Just a little tiny thing I'm doing.
Okay, cool. So we won't even talk about it.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, like, yeah, last week I was shooting and just, you know, like, having like stormtroopers on set, like just seeing stormtroopers for real, and just there's just something incredible about that world that Lucas created. Mm. Just all those characters, and they're all, I mean, it's just stormtroopers. When you come up with stormtroopers, it's just incredible.
Yeah, and their suits funnily enough, will weather any storm as well, which is really impressive.
They really they can troop through the storms.
They can troop through that. So you're doing. So this is a TV series, and you're directing.
I'm directing the very final episode. But yeah. So and it's been really cool.
And now you're part of that lineage, which is, you know, which is fucking exciting.
It's pretty amazing, man.
Okay.
It's pretty amazing.
And so, all right. So you've Star Wars. Then the next thing after that is Akira.
Well, that's the plan.
Okay.
The plan, yeah. I'm trying to do some writing on that and figure out what the how the story will unfold within a movie. Trying to figure out if it's more than one movie. Trying to figure out like, you know, how to adapt the books, because it's not a remake of the film, because that was never the plan. It's not a remake because they don't have the rights to do that.
Right.
But it is an adaptation of the books, which is good because it's, you know, there's six of those giant books and they're all amazing, and I think that so much has been left out of the original film.
Was it something you read as a kid or something you discovered later?
I didn't read it as a kid. My mum took me to see it at the cinema when I was about 13.
Yeah.
And that was like really life-changing for me, because I'd never seen a film like that. I'd never seen an animation with so much swearing in it, with people, like, which was so violent, and you know, people being gunned down in the streets. And it was like, this is my first... I mean, it really blew me away. It was my first introduction to that style of animation. And I've always been a fan of it since then, and always wanted to at least see someone make a live-action version. And now, interestingly enough, I'm sort of, my name's there attached to it. I mean, who knows? I can't, like, until it actually happens, you know, you never really know, because it's been plagued with a few issues over the years. I think I've been trying to make it for about 15 years. And so now, you know, I'm like, okay, I'll just ease into this, and if it happens, it happens. And
so are you feeling pressure from the fans? Because I know, obviously...
Well, not really, because none of them really know if I'm doing it or not.
Okay.
And you do now.
Okay, great, cool.
A little exclusive. But it's only exclusive, and it's only real if it gets a green light and if it actually happens. So to that, I always have backup plans. I've got other projects that I want to work on, and you know, I'd like to do another thing with Marvel. Not sure what yet.
Interesting. I won't ask any questions.
Well, just because I don't know what it's going to be.
Okay, cool.
And then I'd like to do it with Chris again. So if there was another Thor, I'd definitely be interested in that.
Yeah.
And then what else? I'd like to do other big movies in the States, because I just feel like they're fun. And after doing five small ones or four small ones, it's nice now to like move into that bigger world. And I'm always coming back to my small things as well.
So is it the independent world is something you will never leave fully behind anyway?
No, and I think my films, even the big films will have that feeling to them. I think Thor has got a real kind of independent vibe to it in some ways.
Definitely.
Like the way I've covered all my films in terms of shooting and stuff is... got that similar look of that similar,
it's that similar feel. It's the humanity of it. You know what I mean? You want characters to be flawed. You want them to be stupid at points.
Yeah.
You want them to say the things that I'd probably say to someone in a room and not get a laugh from. But because it's in a film, obviously it's funny. But the cringe moments.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of what you do.
Yeah, those moments that go on a little bit too long.
A little bit too long.
And exactly. Those like little awkward moments where no one knows what to say.
Yeah.
Like those things, I think.
Just
really
like the pizza
things.
Guy coming in and not leaving straight away.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you have an interrogation scene in a hotel, and you know, that you've got someone strapped to a chair, and then just as you're about to torture them, the pizza turns up.
He was so polite. He was so
lovely. He was a lovely guy.
You know what? I love that guy. That guy, we should get him back at some point. Maybe get him on the future episode.
Raul, I think his name was.
Raul, he was straight up white, but his name was definitely Raul.
I've named him Raul.
His name was Raul. Okay. So Raul sent in a question. Jojo Rabbit, that's coming up.
Jojo Rabbit, yeah. So I'm editing that, and that's a film right now, as we speak. I'm doing it with my feet. That's a film about a little boy in World War II in Germany. Sort of he's in the Hitler Youth. And he discovers that his mother's hiding this girl in their attic, and so he's never met a Jew before, and he doesn't really know what to do about. And it's just about him dealing with that and trying to get to know her and trying to sort of figure her out, and also torn between, like, you know, whether or not he becomes friends with her or whether he should remain loyal to the Nazis and to Germany, and sort of somehow find a way to defeat her or to get rid of her. And it's really cool. I think it's for me, probably, if I pull it off, will be my best film that I've made.
Wow. When you pull it off.
When I pull it off.
And you play the role of?
I play an imaginary friend. So he's got this imaginary friend who's a version of Hitler. But because he's conjured out of this 10-year-old's imagination, he can only know as much as a 10-year-old knows. Mm. So he's Hitler, but he's an idiot. And so he's like a sort of goofy sidekick character. He just hangs out with the boy.
Okay. And when is this coming out? Do we even know yet?
We don't actually know when it's going to come out. Yeah. I don't have to finish it till sometime next year, maybe March, April or May. I'll deliver it.
Okay.
And then hopefully by the end of the year. So what? In 1 year.
In 1 year from now, Christmas Eve. Co-starring Scarlett Johansson.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like working with? I'm not going to say ScarJo. I'm not going to say it. I hate people that say that.
I'll just say Scar.
Scar. Scar. What was it like working with Scar from Lion King?
Scarface. She's great. I really loved it, and I've always really loved all her stuff. And she's just a nice person. I just want to work with nice people.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't get that opportunity. Sometimes you know, things are cast for you, and you don't get a say in it. Yeah. But for the most part, when I audition people or interview them for a job, if I like them, then that's like 80% of the job done.
Yeah, big time. So you, thank God for Raoul, man. Okay, so
yum.
This is just so you know, the Taika Doodle. There will be better ones, but the one currently is, I mean, it could be me. I don't even know. It could be me. It's got a heart above it. It could be Santa. It looks kind of like a mixture.
It's like a Santa. It's like Ernest Hemingway.
Ernest Santa. Hemingway Santa. So we're going to get that signed up, and we're going to auction it actually for all of the pizza delivering hotel staff that need Christmas presents this year. So that's what we're going to do.
They need Christmas presents.
God damn it, they need those presents. I'm basically going to loop the sound of you chewing that I can hear in my headphones. I'm just going to loop that, put a drum behind it, and make a banger, I think.
Okay, I'm done with that.
He's done with that. Mm-hmm. The crust is on.
Continue.
A Savoy. It's not a Savoy. Okay, so all right. So I've sped past all of these important questions. I had hundreds of things that I've dappled in. I've like dashed in so haphazardly.
Well, We've
touched upon them. I'm getting quite drunk very quickly from this.
I can tell.
Reka vodka. Big thank you to Reka for sending that over. But one thing I do want to ask you more seriously is that for people like us in the creative industry, we are essentially fucking addicted to working. And looking at your back catalogue of everything you've achieved and all of these amazing things that have been produced, it is apparent, unless I'm mistaken, that you work constantly, that you've always got a job on the go.
Oh, yeah.
But how the hell do you relax, and do you ever feel guilt if you have a chance to relax?
Yeah, I do. I definitely, when I go off, if I have a holiday or something, then I'll get really antsy and I won't be able to relax. If it's long enough, then I'll force myself to be able to, I can ease into it.
Yeah.
But if it was like 3 days, 4 days, that's not relaxing.
Yeah. Can you turn your phone off?
I actually can turn my phone off now. I can. I like doing that. But then also I have to once a day at least I have to go in and check everything and reply to everything, because then I get really scared that I won't have a job or anything.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. But do you even get like the whole, like Christmas off, like Christmas Day or something like that, where you're not worried?
Yeah, but I don't like Christmas that much.
Christmas is shit, to be honest. Sorry, everyone, on Christmas Eve when you're hearing this. But honestly, your holiday that you're about to celebrate tomorrow with your loved ones is fucking shit.
It is a bit shit. Well, I just associate Christmas with the time of year when none of my mates are around. Mm. Like when I was a kid, I was like, I just want to go and play with my friends.
Yeah.
They'd all off be, you know, with their families or be out of town. And I was like, oh, this is shit. Town's quiet. Everything's closed. And what am I going to do? Hang out with my parents?
What was the town you grew up in? What's the name? Where were you?
Well, most of my childhood was in Wellington, just the capital.
Yeah.
And then the other place was this town called Waiho Bay, which is Waihau, which means the windy waters.
How windy are we talking?
They're all very choppy out there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You ain't surfing.
Right on the beach. Oh, no, no, no. It was no surf. It was a really rocky area too, so it was not. It's just good for fishing.
I was. That was my next question. I was going to be, you catching fish?
A lot of marlin fishing and stuff out there, like big deep sea fishing out there.
Fuck.
Really big. We've got a big trench, one of those big bottomless trenches. Well, it's not really bottomless. There's no such thing. But big, like deep trench full
apart from superheroes, apparently, because they don't ship.
No, well, but yeah, superheroes, yeah, that's right.
A bottomless. Okay, no, so what?
Poop holeless.
Poop holeless.
They've got bottoms. They've got butts.
They have the facade of bottoms, but with no exit.
They're frauds. Things.
They are frauds.
Their butts are frauds.
Their butts are frauds. Okay, so what's the biggest thing you've ever caught?
Syphilis.
After that, gonorrhea.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a big deal, the SIF.
The SIF. Also, because you never.
Revenge of the SIF.
It was there waiting for us.
Yeah. The biggest thing I've ever caught was, I don't know, probably a kingfish or a snapper. Big snapper. Big kingfish. I've never gone like trawling or marlin fishing, sorry.
Yeah. How big are they?
They're gigantic. They can be as long as this room.
No.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I've never been fishing because I was a vegetarian for 27
years.
They
look like swordfish. You'd think it was a swordfish, but it's those big giant things with the big like pointy nose.
Oh my God. Okay. I need to go fishing.
Like a beak.
In New Zealand. Okay. All right. So I'm nearly ready to end the first half, but before I do...
Thank fuck for that.
Before I do, let's rewind it a little bit, yeah, because I know we brushed over it in my wonderful, handsome hosting manner. Let's get this straight. You fucking play Hitler in the film Jojo Rabbit that you're editing currently with your feet.
Oh, God, I was hoping you wouldn't ask me about this.
Well, you know... We're not talking
God,
about,
you ask the hard hitting questions, don't you?
We're not talking about Dave Hitler from Scunthorpe. We're talking about Adolf Hitler, okay?
Dave Hitler. I thought we were talking about...
Are you playing Dave Hitler from Scunthorpe?
Richard Hitler.
Richard.
His cousin.
Dick Hitler, okay.
Dickler.
So
let's talk about it.
Okay, so obviously the obvious boring question that everyone's going to ask you is, are you worried about the backlash? Okay, cool.
If I'm honest, for sure.
Okay.
Not only from the Jewish community, but also from the Hitler fans.
From the Hitler fans. Yeah, of course, because there are so many of them
right
now.
Yeah, I don't want to disappoint them either.
I'm sorry for everyone.
I feel so
podcast.
Pale right now. And I am pale.
Because
I'm usually like a lot dark, like browner, darker.
Right. So what's the family?
I feel like I've been in the sun for a long, long time.
Okay. So you're like... What?
My dad is Māori, which is the indigenous people of New Zealand. My mum is white as they come. Her family is originally from Russia, Russian Jews, and mixed with a bit of Irish and a bit of all that sort of whitey kind of things going on. And then and on my dad's side is Māori and a little bit of French-Canadian.
Oh, wow.
Whaling. This whaler came down. Had sex with one of our princesses. Out came my great-great-grandmother.
An actual...
So he tried to steal the baby, take her back to Canada.
Mm.
And he took the baby, went on his boat, and then he got to stop and get supplies at this place, Oporiki, which is like a sort of... From where our village is, it's probably like an hour and a bit drive, like in a car. Anyway... Our warriors, badass dudes, rode horses like across the land because he had to go like out to sea and then go around and then like get to the port. And then as he was restocking, they like turn up and like storm the ship and like take the baby back. And because of them, I'm here now. because he would have taken the baby back to Canada and then would have like ended that bloodline.
So this is like some mad Ocean's 11 kind of heist.
Yeah, get the baby.
Get the baby. Starring Zach
Get the baby, bro.
Get the baby, bro.
Go get that baby, bro.
Starring Channing Tatum and Zach Galifianakis coming to a cinema near you soon.
Go get that baby, bro.
Go get that.
Fuck, there's something cool about that's a good story.
Bro, where's my baby? There you go. You've got it. Ashton Kutcher.
Bro, where's my baby's baby? Because her dad was the one who sent all the dudes to go and get the baby.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So she was like, my boyfriend stole the baby. And then he was like, fuck that. And then sent these dudes out. And,
the plot fucking thickens.
Yeah. Bros, go get my baby's baby. Baby, I got your baby back.
Hey, baby.
Our bloodline shall survive.
Hey, baby, where's my baby's baby? Baby. Two. The sequel. Okay, The Revenge. So that's a film that I would definitely... probably watch on Netflix.
No other formats?
I mean, no. Laserdisc. I really like Laserdisc.
Yeah, well, it's going to be long. That'll be a long movie. So we'll flip it over.
And also I have to find a Laserdisc player first, so that might take a little while.
Yeah.
What
about Minidisc?
I would listen to it on Minidisc.
I mean the designer of the Minidisc.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Please tell me.
Guy.
Rhymes with Minidisc.
Yeah, Finilius.
Finilius.
Finilius. Guy Finilius Minidisc.
Guy. I think that was the name of the pizza guy.
Raul.
We called him Raul, but I think Guy Finilius Minidisc was his name also. And I think there's a baby in that table that he delivered. Okay, so see, I find family history is fucking fascinating because I've on my nan's side, Ukrainian, Polish. And she,
there was a high five between us because we were really basically nice brethren.
So she, from Ukraine back in the day, there's the story that she tells me. She tells me new stuff all the time. She's 90, in the last episode I said 94, she's probably 96, but she won't listen to the podcast so she won't be offended. She's the best human being on the planet. And so her great-grandma had five daughters. And when her husband passed away, she had to support the farm, support her daughters, keep everything going. So she started to bootleg alcohol.
Love it. I love your nan.
This is my nan's grandma.
Oh, shit.
So this is great, great grandma. So she started bootlegging alcohol. She got arrested, sent to jail. And then she escaped from prison.
What?
She escaped from prison and got her five kids and took them all across Europe into England. Factual. Nice.
Did she have a baby stolen?
She didn't have a baby stolen.
From a French, white Canadian whaler. Because if so, we could be cousins.
She actually had six children and one of them got stolen by a Canadian whaler.
Who went to New Zealand.
Who went to New Zealand. And now we are related.
How many parents do you have? How many siblings do your parents have? Do they come from big families?
How many siblings do what?
Your parents have.
My mom's got a really interesting story because she grew up thinking being told her mum was her aunt, her aunt was her mum.
Well, that's how I grew up, was that all my aunties, to this day, I still call them mum.
Wow.
And so we just grew up I think most of us knew who our real mums and dads were, but we'd always some of the uncles would call dad, but like mostly it was all the aunties would be mum. Because they were always in and out and, we'd go and live with all of them and they raised us. And so that was the style. And I feel like that's kind of similar.
Yeah, yeah. So was there, you had a solid two that you knew were there?
A solid two, they went together. But, I knew who they were. And, when I went with my mum, that was my mum.
Yeah.
But, all my other aunties who, were basically when I wasn't living with my mum, if I was living with my dad or my grandmother, and then they'd be around them. Even so, we'd call our grandmother mum as well.
Yeah.
Whoa. Wasn't our real mum.
Everyone's a mum.
Yeah, it's easy. It's easier that way.
It's easier to be a mum.
But also, we do a thing where, so anyone of your parents' generation is just uncle or auntie. Mm. Anyone of your generation is a cousin.
Yeah.
Or a brother or a sister. And then degeneration. We don't have like this cousin twice removed and all that because it's too complicated.
Yeah.
It's like, that's an uncle.
I'm definitely an uncle to all of my mates' kids. I'm Uncle Corin to everybody.
Drunkle Corin.
Drunkle Corin. It's just so painfully true. Okay.
Drunkle Corin. Drunkle Corin's asleep on the couch again, Mum.
He's asleep on the couch. It's Christmas Eve. He's
going to sleep on the couch. It's covered in cranberries.
You know me so well. I can't help myself when I'm drunk.
No, that's not cranberries, baby. That's cranberry juice. He's been having sea breezes all night.
It's blood. Someone should call an ambulance. It's blood. Can someone call an ambulance?
Drunkle Corin's vomiting blood again.
So like him. So, okay, so you're a little bit worried about the backlash.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I want to... The first half is you know, we're in fucking overtime in the first half. But
no, this is the second half now.
No,
I'm not going overtime. I've got dinner to go to.
Jojo Rabbit, real quick, you're going to hit me up whilst the Tiger Doodle is really fucking emancipating itself right now into a beautiful prize for Raul and all the beautiful pizza people who need their Christmas presents this year, that charity.
So I just give like doodles instead of tips?
Yes, I think so.
Do you guys tip? We don't tell staff.
No, you don't tip anyone here. I don't
okay,
want.
Good. No, I'm glad because I think it's fucking stupid.
Of course, it's stupid.
Tipping is just a hangover from. This is halftime. This is fucking halftime. No, I'm not getting into my theory about tipping until the second half. Until you promise me the second half.
Okay,
I'm done.
The second half is gonna happen very soon. So Jojo Rabbit, it's happening, and it's next year.
It's about Nazis,
and it's about fucking Nazis, and it's not about Richard Hitler. It's about the other one.
That's right.
Okay, cool. We're going to break now for the break. We'll be back shortly.
You.
Okay. Little teeny weeny. All right, wait a second. Here we go.
Sorry. I just left my glass up there.
How am I so drunk already? I've got a DJ at some point. Okay, all right. Welcome back to you in the second half of the Thanks Giant Podcast. Merry Christmas Eve to everyone. Happy Christmas Eve, especially to the Pizza Delivery Union. The Tiger Doodle's looking good.
Is this your podcast?
And the second one, Stein. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to just have the ceremonial shot. It's the fucking thing. All right, we go.
Yuck.
All right, we did the shot. So this is what's going to happen in the second half. There's no more boring questions.
Oh, cool.
I'm not really interested in the questions. So what happens here is season two.
Skipped to the second half right at the beginning.
We should have done that. But it's too late for that now. We're not getting that time back.
No.
This is time for the segments. This is all about the people that have pissed me off this week. And this segment is called Under the Patio. What is going to happen is I'm going to suggest the types of scenarios of people that have annoyed me this week. And you, as my intrepid guest, will have to then decide the type of capital punishment that they deserve for their crimes.
Let's go. Ready.
People that pretend to cough.
Burn them. Oh, sorry, what?
That pretend cough around smokers to show their disgust.
Mm-hmm. What should happen to them? No, what should we do to them?
Yeah, what should we do to them? Guest?
Should
we kill them? Because I think we should kill them. I think we should bury them under the patio straight away.
We're not. This podcast is taking a real dark turn. I don't want to have myself on record saying we should kill people.
This is all fictional.
Oh, it's fictional?
Yes, it's fictional.
Oh, yeah. Chop them up.
Chop them up. Okay.
Chop them up into
these fictional people that are in your film, we're going to chop them up. Because how dare you come over to me and pretend cough while I'm smoking and happily killing myself?
Yeah. No, don't pretend cough. Just say... fuck off with your cigarette. you should pretend. You should have a pretend lozenge for them.
That is a good answer. See, now we're in. Okay, let's start the podcast
again. They
should
all get forced to eat pretend lozenges.
Eat a pretend lozenge and chill the fuck out. Okay. People that keep knocking or kicking the back of your seat on a plane.
Well, they're usually kids.
Okay, so that doesn't change the question.
What you do is you turn around,
yeah.
You say to them, you say to the kid, you do that again, I'm going to cripple your dad.
Right, okay, yeah, that's fair.
So, and then the dad will stand up and be 7 feet tall and an MMA fighter. And you go, what I meant by cripple was a compliment.
Compliment?
I'll compliment your dad. Keep going, kid.
Keep on kicking, maybe more efficiently.
Keep more kicking. Well, it's like the prototype of the massage seat. I really love it.
Yeah.
Keep kicking.
It's really... I
hear what you're saying.
I had it the other day with a grown man.
Yeah, what did you say to him?
Kicking the back of my...
I'll hurt your dad.
I said, where's your dad?
He said, he died in the war. And then you went, okay, well, okay. Good job.
He actually had a twitch that he couldn't help. It was like Tourette's. Turned around and apologized. People that go
Tourette's of the leg.
Tourette's of the leg. You've heard of that, right? It's a real thing. Yeah, definitely a real thing. There's actually a new it's a new superhero. People that go in blackface as fancy dress. Or at any time, in fact.
Well, they should be made to wear blackface to work and all around town all day long for a month.
And see all the lost job opportunities
mm-hmm.
and the discrimination that they face. You are very diplomatic.
In Jamaica.
In... I think every episode, oh, this guest is really diplomatic. I'll always find one. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. You're the most diplomatic one I've had so far.
Yeah.
Most times...
Because I'm the most famous person you've ever talked to.
I mean, I don't know if that's true.
I'm joking.
It's hosted by a real life Z-list celebrity.
I'm sure that the two guys from Bros were like, you know, but
That was the best episode that I had. That was the only other episode. No,
I've
got to
be very wary
pizza.
About what I say. Like, this could be a soundbite. I mean, I say, oh yeah, you know, I'm not even gonna say it as like
you're
gonna
get this. You're gonna get this to edit. Don't worry. So you'll know.
Like, I'm gonna have time to edit your podcast for you.
Is that what part of this thing is? I thought that was what you said.
Jesus,
you were gonna edit it.
Christ! And so what? I have to like design the cover. And
I don't know how to use a computer. You told me that you were going to edit it.
Promote it.
Oh, what? Oh, my God. I thought you said you were going to host my next episode for me. People that call you big man when they're trying to get past you. Did you ever get that?
No. Is it a thing from here? Is it a saying from here?
It does. It definitely happens.
What about bad man?
Bad man?
Yeah.
Bad man's a good thing over here.
Is bad man a comic character?
Bad man. Do you want it to be a comic book character?
Bad man.
That is a great comic book character. I think we should have Bad Man as a character. Yeah. What would he be wearing though?
What would they wear? What would he wear? He would wear a
thong. Just a real wedgie.
Like a big sort of like beanie.
A beanie.
Would he wear like a rasta hat?
Rasta hat.
I don't know why I keep talking about Jamaicans, but I'm obsessed.
I think you should set your film.
You're bad man.
That's about the stolen baby. Get my baby back. There should baby
bros. Go get my baby's baby.
Go get my baby's baby back. To Jamaica. That's going to be the second one. I think we're
bro. Go get my baby's baby, Jamaica. Bro, go get my baby's baby, Miami.
Is it basically CSI? I think this is. All right, we're going to go into the second segment right now because you're so diplomatic.
Yeah.
You're so diplomatic. I don't want controversial. I just wanted an outlet for my aggression and my anger.
Well, that's your
thing. This is my thing, okay? I can't help that. This is the only time.
That's your thing, Ning Nong. This is very diplomatic insult.
That was such a diplomatic insult. I don't even know what it offended, but I feel offended.
It doesn't offend anyone except Nings and Nongs.
It's true. I feel like you were offending doorbells. You were just like taking the piss out of...
He called you Dingling.
Yeah, okay, well, there you go. This one, the title of this segment changes every time. Look, you may... or may not be interested in this, but I'm going to do it anyway for the listeners that have been with me since episode one of season two. It changes every time.
Mm-hmm.
Today's one is a veritable catacomb of fearsome quandaries for the utmost preponderancy of the entire galactosphere. Okay, the first question.
Too many big words for a start, but yeah.
Which one didn't you understand? I don't care. I'm moving forward.
Okay.
If you could eat one creature from a film or a TV show, what would it be and how would you cook it? My answer is the long dog from Neverending Story because it has so many fucking ribs.
Oh, that thing. That That, you know, that dog is a paedophile.
All the more reason to kill
him.
Do you
see
him
when...
All the more reason.
No, when old what's-his-face, Atreyu...
Atreyu!
Atreyu.
Atreyu's the horse, right?
Artax is the horse, isn't it?
I thought Atreyu was the...
Artax is the horse, Atreyu is the kid.
Atreyu
wakes up in the arms of, in the fairy embrace of what's-his-name? I was going to say Amadeus.
Falcor. Yeah.
Because I was thinking Falco, Rock Me Amadeus.
That is a fucking banger.
Rock Me Amadeus. Okay, so...
true.
But you look at him. He's a disgusting little pedo, that dog.
You think it's...
I mean, you look at his eyes. His eyes are just sort of like...
He's letting kids ride him all day long.
How did the tree get clean? He was like all clean. That dog, that big, horrible flying dog, licked him clean. Put his clothes back on, sucked all the mud off his clothes, and then
he
put them back
the
on him.
Sucked the mud off his clothes.
Then put them back on him, and then I snuggled up next to him. Oh, yuck, 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 yuck.
So you're saying that if I ate him, then maybe I would somehow.
That's fine. No,
that's,
no.
You think that's okay?
I'm just saying, like, yeah,
so
fine.
I can
I don't
eat
mind
that.
If
that's
he
a lot.
Him.
There's a lot of ribs.
I was going to say, old what's his face? I was going to say Thelonious Monk, but you know the little,
the
jazz
musician,
no, but that little thing, Salacious, something from Return of the Jedi, that little fucking that gross monkey with a beak, who hangs out with Jabba the Hutt, and he lives in a cage.
Okay,
and he cackles.
Yeah.
That thing.
Because I'm thinking of the Rancor monster, which would also be good to eat. Because there's
thinking
a lot
of giant things.
Giant things.
You want big meals.
Big meals.
I like little things. I think that the other little Salacious Crumb, that's his name.
Salacious
Crumb is like a little quail. It's a Star Wars quail.
Would you eat the eggs of Salacious Crumb, or were they? It's going to be like quail's eggs?
Oh, yeah. No, it wouldn't be like quail's. It's more like caviar.
Caviar. But then what?
And turquoise.
What poop hole is that coming out of?
His belly button.
Belly button.
And his nostrils. Next question.
Can you truly love someone whose favourite actor is Adam Sandler?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You can love anyone. You can program your brain. You can program yourself to love anyone.
That is... Actually, I'm laughing, but that is actually
diplomatic,
true.
Isn't it?
No, diplomatic, but also true.
Yeah.
Very true. Can you trust someone who says no spoilers when discussing Titanic?
Well, what do you mean? Are they describing what's happening?
So I've just seen Titanic again. Yeah. Right, and I'm like, you know what, man? As an adult rewatching Titanic,
I walked out of Titanic because I knew what was going to happen.
So you were so angry.
At the time, I thought it was terrible. And I walked out just as it hit the iceberg. And I went, okay. Well, they're not going to...
What, they're not going to jazz
gonna
it
twist
up?
Twist the tail.
What twist the...
It's not going to be like an alternative telling. They hit the iceberg, that's all I wanted to see.
It skirts past the iceberg.
You know what it did it for me?
Lots of headroom.
The fucking hand on the sweaty window.
Yeah, that was a bit much. I didn't really like that. Also, when's that going to happen? When have you got a hand free? He's had a drink. Drunkle Corin.
Drunkle Corin's bleeding
here.
From the mouth again.
He's bleeding from the mouth.
Mom, Drunkle Corin's on the couch. He's bleeding.
He's bleeding again.
He's bleeding from the bum.
He's from the bum, because I'm not a superhero. I have a poop hole.
You've got a bum.
I have a poop hole. I always thought I was a superhero until I discovered that.
God.
But can you truly, truly love someone whose favourite band of all time is Simply Red?
Okay, so... I know for a fact that you can.
Wow, okay. Favourite band of all time. I'm talking about like...
My friend's dad... is a massive Simply Red fan.
Wow.
And he's married.
Is
and to the point where
is
I
he
went
Mick
over to the house and
is
he
Mick Cucknall?
He made me watch the final concert of Simply Red. And
right.
Sat there the entire time saying, oh God, oh just look at him. Just look at him go. Oh just such oh just this is the oh I mean that and look what a professional. What a professional. And just the sound. Oh, just the sound quality. Just going absolutely in love with Simply
the
Red.
The sound quality.
And he's married. Someone married him.
Someone married him. So you know what? Look, these are just questions. These are not judgments. They're not me being aggressive trying to kill someone. Don't worry, we're not doing all of them.
Yeah, I'm going to shower and
that's fine. Don't worry, we've got like one more to do.
Okay, look, all right.
All right,
don't
man.
You get aggressive,
you need to
drunkle.
Draw me another fucking tiger doodle so I can chariot it off so my guy who delivers the pizza can buy his kids presents this Christmas.
Whoa. Man, this is the most aggressive podcast I've ever been on.
Do you know that's going to be the tagline for season 3?
I'm going to draw Taka you Waititi, without looking at my paper.
The most aggressive.
Okay, you ready?
Right, he's going to draw me now.
Here
this,
we go.
Okay.
Without looking without down. Okay.
He's looking me dead in the windows of my soul. And he's drawing. It looks great already. It looks really.
Don't look down.
I'm not looking down. I'm looking up at this
Stop
regal.
Stop moving your face.
I'm keeping my.
Stop moving your mouth. Stop laughing. Stop smiling while you smile.
Fine, so I'm smiled already. All right, this is real.
Your little beard.
That's happening. I'm talking without.
It's going to look like a penis.
It's going to look like a penis, yeah. But I have a butthole. I'm not a superhero. This is what's happening.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. Here we go. Look at that. That is the best picture of me. Can you please sign it at the top? Because I'm going to put that in. I'm going to get that tattooed on me. We were talking about getting matching tattoos.
Oh.
So
we.
That is the picture that I'm getting tattooed on me tomorrow. Here we go. That is. Fucking weird. Beautiful. So that is fucking delicious.
And on that note,
I've got one last final question, which is...
Your podcast should be called And On That Note.
And on that note, I don't have any more questions. I would just want to say thank you so much for coming on the podcast. And do you have
coming
anything
all over
to
your
add?
Podcast?
There's already enough semen all over my laptop.
Oh,
to
dude,
add.
Grossy. Grossamundo.
Grossy.
Ew.
Grossy.
Grossa.
So I heard,
Grossalicious.
I heard you're directing the reboot of Clueless. When's that coming out?
Cluedo.
It was...
Clunge. Clooney. The biopic.
Clooneyless.
Clueless is one of the greatest films ever made. I don't fucking care
I
what
fucking
you fucking
love
say
that
about
film.
That. And
the Clunesness.
I don't have to defend myself on that.
I fucking love Cluedo with starring Alicia Silverstone.
Nice to meet you guys. Thanks for listening. Bye.
So that was the most beautiful and poetic ending possible. Thank you once again to Taika for talking absolute breeze with me, and clearly we've got, you know, a future hit on our hands with Bros Where's My Baby's Baby, so watch out for that one. Big thank you to Raker Vodka once again. Shout out to you for listening for 10 fucking weeks for the Thanks for Trying podcast season 2. It's been a beautiful season. Season 3 coming sometime in 2019 when my liver recovers from all of this fucking drinking. Merry Christmas to you. I love you all very much. Big up.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford Tough, Built Ford Proud.